Announcements? I didn't really see anything on the CCEG. Unless anybody's on Facebook and seen something on Facebook or wherever. I didn't see anything out there. But lunch will be served shortly after our preaching service, depending on how long-winded I am. So, and I promise I won't be long-winded. And then 1:30 we'll have a young people's activity. 3 o'clock we will have a presentation by our brother Mike Kelly. 5:30 we'll have dinner. 7 o'clock song service and 7:30 preaching service by our brother Hugh. Shall we open up with use number one? Number one, let us go to the house of the Lord. Number one. And when you find your places, would you please stand?
Thank you so much for that. And Lord, I do pray that you continue to guide and direct us, and allow us to be your children, Lord. Allow us to always hold on to that rod of iron, Lord, that sometimes we fail to do that. And I pray that you'll reel us back in. Lord, I ask this in Christ's name.
We will continue with number 119. Rise up, O men of God. Number 119. To introduce our speaker for the day is Rich Bove. Well, thank you, Rich. I did print out some more schedules here, and I put them down. They're down right over here if anybody needs a schedule for their reunion. And today I'm gonna be in the Bible today, and for those that want to follow along. And I recently did this sermon, and but there wasn't a lot of our congregation that was here when I did this. So, and I want to talk about this again. And the title I got on my sermon is "Why Is There Struggle?" Sorry, guys. Why is there struggle in our lives? And that's a topic that pops up in my head from time to time. You know, why do I have to go through a lot of these struggles? And I got down here, we all have moments in our lives when we struggle with things. We all can have such a wonderful day, and then all of a sudden, whammo, in a blink of an eye, something happens and goes wrong and changes everything. And we struggle with that, in that instant, where that great day can just turn sour, and we have a bad day. Even in the beginning, God told Adam and Eve there will be struggle in their lives. And as I go through the scriptures, I want you guys to pinpoint some of the topics that I'm going to talk about and compare that with some of the struggles that you're going on a daily basis. And when I did the sermon, I had some people look at me like, wow, for some of the comments that I made during this sermon. So it's going to happen, when I mention some of these comments that I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to instantly look up and see the reactions of your faces, because you're not going to understand right away what I'm going to be talking about, but I'm going to reel it in to you, for you. So in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis, sorry guys, I pray I don't lose my voice. Genesis chapter 3, And I'm going to start with verse 9. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 to 19. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in thy garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked?" So here's God asking Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" God already knew the answer to that question, but he's asking Adam, "What did you do? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree that I told you and commanded you not to eat from?" So he's literally asking Adam, "I know already, but I want you to admit it." And right here in verse 12 is the beginning of the blame game. Okay, if you think about it. Verse 12, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it." Okay, strike one. He's blaming Eve. "She told me to do it. She said it was going to be okay." Okay. That's what God was trying to get out of Adam, okay? Where did this come from? Adam, I want you to know where this came from. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Okay? We all know who the serpent is. Okay? He tricked her. "If you eat of this, you will surely become gods," is what he told her. So he tricked her, and she ate of it. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Does that sound like a struggle to you? Absolutely. God's telling him, you know, you had it so easy. You had everything set out for you. And now that you disobeyed one of my commandments, now you're going to struggle. God told him right off the bat, this is what's going to happen now. "And I will put," oh, here's that word, I never can say this, enmity, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's another struggle. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to the husband, and he shall rule over thee." Okay? So right there, he's telling Eve, you are going to have children, but the birth is not going to be pleasant. There's going to be a struggle during birth. You're going to feel some pain. So he's telling her that. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So right there, God is physically telling him, you are going to struggle throughout your life. You're going to have to earn your food. You're going to have to grow your own food. You're going to have to do this stuff on your own. And it's not going to be easy. "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, unto the dust shalt thou return." Okay. So he's telling him, until the day that you die, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be struggle in your life. Here it is right in the beginning. You know, and we are no different. But there's a hope. We can struggle in three ways. Okay, and here's where I'm going to look up at your guys' faces. Because when I say this, you guys are going to look at me like I'm out there. And that's fine. But I want you guys to hear this out. Okay, there's three ways that people struggle. One way is people. People struggle with other people. Okay, that's one of them, one of the ways. And I'll talk about that more. Another way that we struggle is ourselves. We struggle with ourselves. Okay, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Now the third way, and here it goes, we struggle with God. Okay, we struggle with God. Okay, now here's a, what are you talking about, Rich? I don't have a struggle with God. Okay, I want you to hear me out. Okay, but I'm going to talk about the first one, the people. Okay, with people, we can just have moments when you or someone else just don't mend together. Okay, we've all been down that road where, you know, whether it be a spouse, a family member, friends, co-workers, the list goes on and on and on, where sometimes two people collide. And that collision is not good. Okay? And we need to work on that. That can be a struggle, especially if it's a spouse or a family member, a close friend, you know? Then we take it to heart, like, you know, what happened? I love this person to pieces, and now there's a struggle between us. What happened? How do I change it? Okay. And we all change it in different ways. We all go through struggles differently, and we all change it around differently. But there's a struggle that we deal with sometimes on a daily basis. Another way that we struggle is with ourselves. Okay. And as I go through this, I want you guys to think about that. You know, put yourself in your shoes and think about this. How often do you struggle with yourself? Where you're having a battle against yourself. It happens to me all the time. Where I question myself and my judgment that I made. And there's a battle going on, not only in my mind, but also in my heart. There's a struggle. And this tends to be a big battle in your life. We struggle with, in some of the struggles I have here, we struggle with fears. We struggle with doubts, flaws, temptations, guilt, insecurities, resentment, regret, the list goes on and on and on and on. When our sister stood up yesterday and gave testimony about a lottery ticket. That was a struggle for our sister. Should I buy it or should I not buy it? We could use all that millions and millions of dollars, but it's also gambling. Okay, that's a struggle inside yourself. You know it's not right, but if I just go and it's just $2 or a dollar or however much it was, what's it going to hurt? But what happened? What happened? There was a struggle in her mind, a struggle in her heart, and God stepped in. Haven't I already taken care of you all this time? Haven't I been there all this time? What more do you need? What more do you need? So that struggle was there. And our sister said, she felt ashamed. She felt humble. But she got the right answer, didn't she? She didn't buy that lottery ticket. But there was a struggle. It happens. It happens. (Clears throat) I want to turn to Romans. Romans chapter 7. And everybody knows that Romans is real easy reading. Not always. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to start with verse 15 and read all the way to verse 23. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 15. For that which we do, okay, and bear with me on this, okay, these verses are tongue twisters, so I'm going to put a cough drop in my mouth because this one's going to be a wild one. But bear with this, you know, and listen to where he's going with this. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Okay. To sum that up, he knows that some of the things that he does is not right, but he's going to do them anyway. That's his choice. To sum that up, that's what it's talking about. Yeah, I hate that I do this. I know it's wrong, but I can't fix it. I need help. I'm having a struggle to correct it. And he knows that. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. So he knows he wants to fix it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay. We are sin. We're the natural man. We're an enemy to God. Okay. But God knows that. We are sinners. From time to time, we're going to fall. From time to time, we're going to have those little thoughts in our head, should I do this or shouldn't I not do this? Okay. But God knows that. God knows that. And we've mentioned this in class. I've heard ministry say this. It's not a sin. Or temptation is not a sin until you act upon it. Think about that. Until you act upon that temptation, it's not a sin. It's just a thought. But that thought can turn into a sin. So you got to be careful with that. But if you act upon that, that's when it becomes a sin. But it says, but sin dwelleth in me. So he knew that there was a sin inside of him. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Can you imagine that? Of course. From time to time, we are not good. From time to time, we do fall and fail. And it takes us to realize that, where we got to be reeled in and know that God has total control over all of this. He's got total control of it. I don't know how many times I've said this, that if I've had a bad day and if I've done something totally wrong, in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't want to pray to God about this because I don't want him to know about it. Really? Who am I hiding it from? God already knows I did it. But now he's waiting for me to say, God, I did this. I know it's wrong. I need help. I'm struggling with this. Help me fix it. Help me fix it. Verse 20 says, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, so he knows that it's in him. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Okay. Evil, we got to remember this, evil is always lurking around us. It's all around us. We walk outside this church, we don't know what can happen to us. It's out there. And Satan's ready to pounce on us. But who do we have on our side? Who can overtake that? God. But it just takes us and our mindset, our heart, to overcome that struggle of doing it your way. We got to overcome that. We can't always do things our way. For I delighted in the law of God after the inward man. I love that verse. I love that verse. He knows that he's doing bad, but he loves his inward man. He loves what's in his heart. He loves the good in him. He knows the good in him. He just wants to get it out. He just wants to get it out. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Okay? Right there. Just what I said. His inward heart wants to do good, but his outward body, his arms, his thoughts and all that are bad. And that's the struggle. So when I say that people struggle with themselves, there it is. It's a war going on inside of you. Okay, now here we go. The greatest struggle we have in life is with God. Okay. And I even put down here, you may be asking yourself, you know, what struggle do I have with God? What struggle do I have with God? And that's a tough one to take in. I felt like I've led a good life. I feel like I don't have a struggle with God. But let me break it down for you guys. Okay? Allow me to break it down. Show of hands. Okay? Show of hands. Audience participation now. Show of hands. Are you a person that likes to be in control of everything in your life? Show of hands. Okay. There's not yes or no, yes or no. There's no gray area. Do you want to be in control of your life? Okay. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. They want control of their lives. And that's not a bad thing, but when I ask that question, do you struggle with God? And then you say, well, I want to be in control of my life. There's the struggle. And let me break that down. Why is that a struggle? I got down here. You know, if you want to be in control all the time, if so, you are doubting God's wisdom for your life. You're doubting God's wisdom for your life. Think about that. Break that down. How so? Do you know what's better for you more than God does? So when I made that comment, you know, do we always know what's best for us? Not all the time. Not all the time. But God knows exactly what's best for us. He gave us this life. And now he's asking, okay, I gave you this life. What are you going to do with it? Oh, you want to do it your way? Okay, I'll let you do that. You're going to have some struggles. And God says, I'll be waiting in the background. I'll be waiting. He'll let you do it your way. So there's that struggle. We are a natural man, an enemy to God, and open rebellion towards him is not good for your soul. It's not good. When we are openly rebelling against God's commandment or his will, or ask for a prayer, and if it's not answered the way we want it to be answered, what happens? We doubt. We question God. Well, God, I asked you for this prayer, for this. How come I'm not receiving it? Why? Is there a struggle? Yeah. You're going against what God has planned for you. God already has a perfectly laid out plan for your life. Yes, Rich, you're having a bad day, you're having a bad week, you're having a bad month, a bad year. It's just a short period of time in your life. But I'm right here with you. And if you stick with me, I'm going to make it the way it was meant to be. I'm going to get you out of that struggle. And that's a promise to us. That's a promise to us. When God tells you no, don't do that, but you do it anyway, remember this. I want you guys to remember this. You are his child, and he loves you without any doubt. You're his child. You're his child. So when he corrects you, he's correcting you as a parent. Children don't always get what they want. And I want you to think about that. We're all parents. We're all parents. Did our children always get exactly what they asked for? No. When your children did bad and you corrected them, did you do it out of hate or because you loved them and wanted them to grow from that and learn from that? That's exactly what God is doing with us. So when we ask for something in prayer and we don't receive it and we go and do something totally different and God corrects us and chastises us, what happens then? We may be mad, upset, doubt. You know, why? Why, God? I thought this would work out for me. Why is it not working out for me? Well, because it's not the way God's plan for your life is. His way is so much better. So much better. We oftentimes struggle with God, but that's not always a bad thing. Okay, so I'm going to turn this around a little bit. When we struggle with God, that's not always a bad thing. And I'm going to really get into depth and explain this. Why? Why? So I want to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And I want to read from, Genesis chapter 32 from verses 23 to 30. And I know we all know the story. Some people interpret this story a little bit differently, you know, but it's what how God wants to, you know, how you're being led. It says, and he, verse 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Okay, this is Jacob and parts of his friends and family. When Jacob knew, he left because his brother Esau was going to kill him. So Jacob left with his family and friends. Left. But then God stepped in and said, you know what? I need you to go back there. And Jacob's like, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. But God sent him anyway. So here's Jacob going back with his friends and family. But then he found, somehow he found out that Esau had 400 soldiers or something like that with him to kill him. So Jacob stopped and said, you know what? This is my battle. This is my struggle. I don't want you guys to be a part of this. I don't want you to see this. So he told his friends and family, I want you guys to disperse. Go different directions. Don't follow me. This one's on my own. In verse 23, it says that he sent them over. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Okay, this is where I've heard different stories of who this man is. I've heard so many different stories of who this man is. Was it Christ? Was it an angel sent from God? I personally don't know. I don't know. And I've been trying to research that, of who this person was. And Joel and Hugh, I'll probably be picking your brains today to enlighten me. Okay, but there's a thought of who this person is. Wrestling with Jacob. And verse 25, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, now he's talking about the man that was wrestling against Jacob. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this man that was wrestling with Jacob knew that he was not winning this wrestling match. He was not winning this wrestling match with Jacob. And so what did he do? He knocked Jacob's hip or thigh or whatever bone out of socket to slow him down a bit. Okay. Verse 26. And he said, let me go. For the day breaketh, and he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Okay. This is Jacob telling that to that man. What happened right there? Right there, Jacob knew that this was a man from God or Christ or whoever, knew that this was a righteous man. And Jacob just kept on holding on to him. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Until you bless me. What happened right there? Jacob realized where the problem was that he had carrying with him, the struggle, the burden that he had with him. It was himself. The struggle was within him. He was the struggle. And so when he was wrestling this person, he finally realized that. And he was not going to let that guy go until that guy blessed him. I refuse to let you go until you bless me. I know now. I don't want to let you go. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Huh? They're listening. Thank you, Siri. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So right there, he knew, bam, what happened. I think it was Christ that was wrestling with him. I could be wrong. I really want to know. You know, or was it an angel? But Jacob knew that the struggle was within himself. And he was not about to let this guy go until he was blessed. He wanted that blessing. He wanted to change his life. He knew that God was there to help him through it. Okay. Why am I bringing this up? Okay. Why did I bring these scriptures up? And that's what I want to talk about, the struggle with God. And I got it right down here. And I, I want you guys to bear with me. I want you to hear this. God would rather have you struggle with him. I want you to think about it. God would rather have you struggle with him than completely walk away from him. And that's exactly what was going on with Jacob. Once Jacob realized that the struggle that was going on in his life, he knew that this man was a holy man, he didn't want to let him go. And that's exactly the struggle that we're having with God. God would rather have you have that struggle with him than walk away from him forever and never return. And never return. Think about that. Think about that. When you struggle with God, and this one hits home. When you struggle with God, you're face to face with him. You are literally face to face with him. You're up close and personal. You're not far from him. Does that make sense? When that struggle, you're having that struggle with him, you're literally face to face with him, up close and personal. You're with him. That's not a bad thing. The struggle might still be there, yes. But who are you with? You're with God. You are physically with God. Jacob received a blessing and a new name when he realized that he was the problem all along. He was the cause of the struggle, not God. Not God. How many times have we heard people blame God for something? All the time. All the time. God, why did my friend have to die? I loved him. I loved her. Why did they have to die? I blame you. How many times have we heard that? I don't know how many times I've heard that. And I got to reel them in. I'm like, it's not God's fault. God never promised anybody that they would live forever in this life. In this life. But if you commit this life to him, after you pass away, yes, you can have external life, internal life with him. But he never promised that you would live forever in this life. And so when I hear people say, you know, it's God's fault that my friend died. It's God's fault that they got in a crash. It's God's fault that they got cancer. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not his fault. Some of the cancers we're finding out is because of the stuff we eat, drink, the medications that we take. That's where they're coming from. Who created them? Man. Man. The struggle's not with God, but sometimes we do struggle with him. Remember that God loves you, God cares for you. Call out to him. Call out to him. Let him know your struggles. Okay. God already knows the struggles that you're going through, but let him know that. And why am I saying it that way? Because I want you to physically reach out to him. He already knows your struggles, but he's waiting for you to say, wham, God, I'm having a hard time with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with you right now. I'm not getting the answers I want. What's going on? When I got down here. And this is coming from me. I want you to wrestle with him. I want you to challenge him. And if need be, I want you to argue with him. I want you to fight the fight. if it needs to go out to that. But by all means, do not walk away from him. Do not walk away from him. God can handle that fight, that wrestling match. And he's okay with that. He knows that you're going through a struggle, but like I said, he wants you to stay with him. He'll be that person holding on to you while you're fighting him. And he's not going to let you go until you realize what's going on. And realize that he's got total control of this. He's got control of your life. Psalms 142. Bear with me, guys. My Bible's about ready to just fall apart. Come on, Bible. Psalms 142. And bear with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter, all seven verses real quick. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So he's telling God his struggles. He's telling God his struggles, his supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So he's right there. I'm complaining to God. I'm showing him my trouble I'm going through, my struggle I'm having with him, with my life. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I don't want to be in that predicament. I cried unto thee, O Lord, said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So right there, he's turning his struggle, his trouble, his sorrow, and he's laying it right before God. God, this is it. I'm having a battle against myself. I'm having a battle against my friends, my family. I'm having a struggle with you. What do I do from here? How do I fix this? That's what God wants to hear. How do I fix it? How do I make it right? And that's when God steps in and says, I got this. I got this. I just wanted you to understand it. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Okay. Fight that fight. Struggle. But know which direction God wants for you. Because his path for your life is perfect. For your life. It's perfect. It's all laid out. We're the ones that make it crooked. But his path is straight. And from time to time, we fall short of that. And we need to be dialed back in. I'd like to close with just this one verse. And as David said in Phoenix, it's about time. It's about time. But I want to close with this just one verse. In 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5, one verse, verse 7. And I want to close with this. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God's our Father. He corrects us. He chastises us. He loves us. He holds us. He comforts us. We're the problem. We're the struggle. And he knows that. But that's what I wanted to talk about today, was finding out what that struggle is in your life. And know that God already knows what it is. But God's waiting for you to say, I'm having a hard time with this. How do I get out of this struggle? Let him fix it for you. Let him correct it for you. Let him guide you. Don't be that barrier between you and him. Okay? We are that barrier. Break down that barrier and get closer to God on a daily basis. Thank you. It's not bad. I did. I got a thumbs up. Okay, yeah, I wasn't long-winded. Okay. And I got... And lunch will be served shortly afterwards. I think we're having sandwiches. Okay. Shall we close our service with the use number 187, Love Lifted Me, number 187. And when you find your places, would you please stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bring our service to a close, I pray once again give you thanks so much for allowing us to be here today, Lord, to read into the scriptures, to be granted some more knowledge of what you have stored in our life, Lord. And Lord, I know that we struggle from time to time with loved ones and even you, Lord. I pray that we will continue to overcome those challenges. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us clear our minds and open up our hearts and allow us to grow from some of the things that you correct us on, Lord. And we know that a lot of our prayers aren't answered right away. But Lord, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. We know that you pray or you answer every single prayer, but in your time. I pray that you'll continue to once again guide us and direct us in this reunion. Lord, I pray giving you thanks so much for allowing our brothers and sisters to be here today. And Lord, I pray giving you thanks for this food that we're about to receive that may truly nourish our bodies and give us energy and strength to make it through the day. And I thank you for those that prepared it for us. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And there goes my voice.
Oh, I'm gone.